Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Messy & Co. live preview for what is easily going to... Oh, wait, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you loud and clear. You're good.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I think it's... Oh, okay. I see what's happened. It's playing back. I'm so sorry. Okay. Anyways, what I was saying is... Okay. So here we go. I'm so sorry about that. We are live for our preview of what is easily the biggest game in the history of Inter Miami, which is going to be Inter Miami versus Monterrey in the CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinals happening this Wednesday at Chase Stadium in Miami. I'm here with my amazing co-host, Gian, and I don't know if you could tell, but I am very excited. We are both very excited. How are you doing, Gian? I apologize for my technical difficulties for a moment.
No, you're good. I'm crazy excited, like super excited. I'm excited to see what this team is going to do on Wednesday. Excited to see them bounce back from, you know, a bit of a tough stretch there for them, but I have plenty of faith in them, and this is... I mean, you could say arguably, but I don't know who's going to argue with it. This is probably the most important game in Inter Miami CF history. You might be thinking it was the League's Cup, but nah, you're talking about the CONCA Champions Cup and the chance to move on into the next round and hopefully to the final against one of probably the best teams that Inter Miami has ever had to face. So huge game for us coming up on Wednesday, and I just can't wait to talk about it and get everybody else's kind of opinions too, how they feel. Are they excited? Are they not? Or are they scared? You know, just a lot of stuff to talk about. So yeah,
super I know. Excited. No, I'm like scared. I feel you. I'm a little bit scared. And I mean, we apologize. It took us a little bit to get the link up. So I want to give people a couple minutes. I don't want to jump into the juicy stuff just yet. But you know, since we last did an episode, the last episode we did was our preview for New York City FC in a game that obviously it ended in a 1-1 draw. I think some of it had stuff we expected, some things we maybe didn't expect. They ended up obviously going with a couple of their stronger players in Suarez, Alba, Busquets, even though Busquets was obviously out of position. I think it was a game that had some pluses and some minuses. There was definitely some frustrations that we felt, you know, towards the end of the game. But a positive was that we saw, obviously, the debut of our new right back, Chelo. And he was just really, really good. I was so happy with what I saw when he's playing in it with, obviously, brand new teammates, new system, hasn't played in, a little bit of time. And God, was he great. Like, he really, I didn't even have to think about him once during the game because it just like seamlessly fit in and seamlessly had things going. And I was just, that is a huge bright spot, knowing that, especially starting, you know, on Wednesday, I think we will be keeping that back four. I imagine we're going to be seeing Freire and Aviles, and maybe even if not Freire, it's going to be maybe Sailor and Aviles or something like that, but keeping that back four. So that's what I want to start with, is that, you know, what did you get from the game overall? And, you know, besides Chelo, what kind of things were you happy about?
Well, I'm not going to skip Chelo because that was gigantic for us. That was huge for us. And I think it certainly is. You know, we had a lot of affinity and a lot of love for Yedlin, obviously, and deservedly so. But you know, Chelo comes in and right off the bat, he's definitely not shy to go and be part of that offense and be very much part of that attack. He's not shy about giving directions and almost like coaching in a sense. I'm not sure how much they show that on the television, but for those that were at the game and yeah, kind of like us that were focusing a lot on Chelo at a lot of times to see kind of like how he was doing, how was his communication with his teammates? He was giving a lot of direction, which was, I thought, really interesting. He was, yeah. I saw a lot of pointing, a lot of gestures, a lot of sometimes, what would you call it? Like
animation?
Animation, but like not necessarily constructive criticism to his other teammates and telling them, play to the left, play to the right. Yeah, so I thought that was really good from Chelo. And one of the things that you and I talked about actually at that game was we noticed, you know, when Yedlin was on this team, he gave us a lot on attack, but sometimes sacrificed the defensive part. And I felt like we didn't necessarily get that from Chelo, where he was very much a part of the attack, but we weren't afraid that he would leave a lot of gaps on defense, or that he would not have the strength defensive wise, whereas he would go up, but then he'd run right back, get into a defensive stance. He did very good on his one-to-one defending. We saw that a few times there. So I think that overall, I'm going to go ahead and say this ends up being an upgrade in my eyes over Yedlin. And that's something that we were, a lot of us as fans or people that cover the team, was, hey, Yedlin was good. Yeah, we saw kind of a little bit of deterioration in certain aspects of his games as of late, but I thought that we felt pretty confident on that right side. So when we got rid of him, it's like, man, this better be an upgrade. You don't want to downgrade from here. And it definitely ended up being an upgrade. So from that perspective, I'm really happy with Chelo. I think that this team continues to show that from the offensive side, they've got a lot of attack in them and a lot of strength, and they're able to get to their spots. That's not a question. The question as of late for me, and it's not a good thing going into Wednesday night with this question in mind, is can they start finishing some of these opportunities that they have? Actually, did you see the same? I saw a lot of opportunities. Yeah. They generate them. They just weren't finishing them. And I know Messi changes that, right? So, but still, Suarez was the reason we tied for both the good and bad. He's the reason we tied because he scored. He's the reason we tied and didn't win because he had five other chances. Yeah. And he missed four of them, and some of them that he typically scores. So I think Inter Miami needs to find the net and start finishing those opportunities, especially against a side like Monterrey that's unforgiving.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, I don't want to ever say that, like, you see players playing down, because I don't think that's what it was. Like, I think, you know, Suarez is a perfectionist, and, like, the reason why he's as good as he's been his whole career is because he always is a perfectionist. But you know, I think they all sort of had a little twinkle in their eye to Wednesday. And, you know, what would maybe be something where, like, there was a couple that he just, like, was a step short, right? And, like, didn't – I think that he'll make that step up. And those opportunities that would maybe have been a little bit wayward will find it. So I'm not as worried about that. I really hope Messi starts and plays. You know, like I said, we all said, is that it would be very surprising if he didn't play and start. It really would be. But if he doesn't, that leads me to believe it's not a great injury, and that makes me nervous and upset. So I think it's a little bit of anxiety, like, waiting to see till tomorrow, because I think tomorrow they will announce it one way or the other. And we'll just have to wait and see. I think he knows, and, you know, they all know, obviously, the importance of this game. And that's just sort of where we're at, where we need to, we need to put out a product where it's, you know, the strongest 11, showing, like, the whole game put together, everyone there. And I think we can, like I said, you know, I'm curious to see, like, what do you think will be the midfield three? Like, let's say everything else stays the same, it's going to be Messi on the right, Suarez in the middle, Robert Taylor on the left. It's going to be a back four of, let's say, it's Alba, Aviles, Freire / Sailor / Cristal, like, one of those three. And then Chelo, like, what is the midfield three you think that's going to be starting? That's what I'm really curious about.
I think for me, it's definitely going to be Gomez, Busquets, and Gressel. I think that before Redondo came in, we had three really good games starting the season where other than a few plays where we know, you know, there were some issues where the opponent was pressing that midfield and the defense, where we saw Busquets make a few mistakes and Gomez make a few mistakes in passing out of that area, which ended up in resulting in counterattacks for us. I think that they cleaned that up. They have since, but that was a very strong midfield, again, before Redondo came into the picture. And I felt we felt very safe from a defensive standpoint. And you have, obviously, Gomez that is very much a part of the attack, but him and Gressel did a great job of locking up that midfield and closing up the spaces. through those first three games. So again, with No Redondo now, at least for a good 8 weeks, maybe we see him in the final if we do make it that far. But right now, to me, that's your best three in the midfield. And now that we have Chelo, you don't have to worry about, you know, is Gressel going to play a right wing back? Is Gressel going to play a right back position? That sort of thing. I think that that's out of the question. We're going to play with that back four. And now you can comfortably have those three in the midfield in Gomez, Busquets, and Gressel. And that's going to give you, I think, the best chance to win, because defensively you're going to be set, but you've also got two big time playmakers in Gomez and in Gressel. Busquets gives you that comfortability and that confidence that he's going to be able to recuperate the ball in the midfield and pass left, right, whatever he has to do, give the ball to Messi. But then, hey, how many times have we seen, even last game, Gressel has the ability to put in these tremendous passes, these tremendous centers, and I think that's going to be very useful against a team like Monterrey. So to me, those are the top three right now.
Yeah, I mean, Busquets and Gomez, I 100% agree with. This is what I'll say about Gressel, because I really like Gressel. And, you know, like I said, I think he has done a really good job. I mean, there's been some shortcomings for him, but I think he has done a good job. I would say this, though. You don't need him to do that passing when Messi's playing. Like, he was creating those chances and doing those passes because Messi wasn't there. And so he was playing in the right wing in Messi's role. I think when you're playing a team like Monterrey, like New York City versus Monterrey is very different. Like the level of quality of Monterrey and the ability to score, I think Tata is going to be thinking a little bit more defensively. And when you are going to play Messi and you are going to be obviously playing Suarez, you need to have like a lot of speed, and Gressel doesn't have that speed. And so look, if he starts on Wednesday, you won't see a complaint from me.
I'm going to tell you why I disagree. I'm going to let you finish what you're saying, but I want you to be ready.
If we see a midfield three where it's Ruiz instead of him, I'm just saying I wouldn't be the most surprised person in the world, and I wouldn't be mad about it. Like I'm happy if he starts. Like he said, he's done a great job. But I think that, you know, when you have Messi playing, playmaking becomes a different kind of need. You know, it's very different because he attracts a lot of attention. He still makes amazing passes. People get into open spaces. He drags defenders with him. It creates more openings and more availability for other people. And so I just think that's all I'm saying is I think either or, like, I could see a case for either, in my opinion.
Okay, so I can see Ruiz if you're facing the number one offense right now. In Conca Champions Cup, the number one offense, they have 10 goals. Them in Nashville actually have the most goals right now in Conca Champions. So they're a powerful offense. They've got very powerful players on offense, and they're one of they're the second team in Liga MX right now, second position. So I can see that maybe if he wants to have a bit more defense, I think Ruiz. I don't know if you'd agree, Ruiz brings a bit more defense than Gressel.
Yeah, that's why I would say that. That's the only reason why, because I think he's more of a runner.
So if there's a worry from that perspective, you can definitely see that. The reason, I guess I disagreed with the point where you said that Gressel was there for the playmaking because Messi wasn't there. The reason I disagree with that is because Messi, number one, Messi's not on the right wing. They put him there. On the little graphic,
that's a
graphic. He's never on that right wing. He's playing everywhere. But one of the things that Tata has made it a point over the last few games, not the last few games, Messi hasn't played, but the last games that Messi has played, he made it a point to have Suarez and Messi not have to come down, especially Messi, to come down to midfield and get the ball. He wanted Messi to be able to focus and run less and just focus on getting the ball high up on the field so that he can either look to score or put one of those final passes. So I think that Gressel is going to be there regardless if Messi is there or not. You still need Gressel because Gressel is going to be that connection, whether it's Busquets or Gressel, they're both going to connect, I think, to Messi and to Suarez. I think you still need that playmaking from Gressel is what I'm getting at, if that makes sense.
I don't disagree with you. I think that, but also, you know, I would say that like Busquets can also do that when needed. Like he normally has to be so defensive minded. I think if he has, you know, if he has, and Cello too, this is a great point by Black Story in the comments, like, we have Cello now. And so what was normally, I agree, a huge need for on that right side, having Gressel really playing the whole part and doing a lot more of it. I'm just saying that, you know, if Messi starts on and whatever position he starts in, if he starts and Cello starts, I can see a world where Gressel doesn't, because they want to be able to have a more like a defensive minded midfield and let Gomez be the one who attacks more and have Ruiz and Busquets be more defensive minded just so that they don't get broken on. I don't
know.
What
about experience? What about experience though too? Cause that's an intangible that you don't see in the stats.
Yeah.
This is the biggest game. Inter Miami.
But you have a lot of experienced players on the field.
But are you going to put David Ruiz to start?
They do very different things.
He's not a starter in MLS. He's not a starter. So how are you going to put him to start a Champions Cup game in a quarterfinal? That's basically a final because you don't have the luxury of figuring it out in the first leg. And then, okay, we come back home in the second leg.
Yeah.
And then, no, this is the first leg. And you never want that as a team. You never want to play the first leg at home. But you're playing the first leg at home. You need to take care of business. And then you're going to put in David Luiz, who isn't a starter in the regular league, in the Champions Cup, over a guy that is a starter, a guy that has a lot of experience, and he's a vet, and that's one of the reasons they brought him in. I think that that's also something that Tata's going to have, like, present when he's deciding who's gonna play or not.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't look, like I said, if it's either or, like if all of the other 10 people that we've said is who's going to start, and we didn't say calendar, but obviously we're my calendar. And if it's the one, if it's either Gressel or Ruiz and it's Gressel, then I'll be like, okay, great. Like that's working.
You'll feel comfortable. Season.
I feel comfortable. If it's Ruiz, I won't be like, Tata's ruined it all. Like I would understand. Oh, I see what he's trying to do here. You know, making sure to counteract the fact that like Messi obviously is, I mean, hopefully he's healed if he plays on Wednesday, but imagine is not going to be still 100% in terms of fitness. And, you know, him and Suarez just can't come back as much. So you can't have him, yeah. Suarez and Gressel all not coming back at a high enough rate, you know, but, you know, outside of that, let's talk a little bit more about the game in general and just like the excitement and the atmosphere and all those elements. You know, Messi is obviously a huge part of it. Like we said, if we're unsure about it and he ends up not playing, then that would be a real shame. And I hope, you know, he watch that. Yeah, right. Maybe he'll go with a 4-4-2 and we all don't know what we're talking about. But you know, I think that Messi or no Messi, but like I said, I'd be very surprised if it wasn't Messi or no Messi. I think Wednesday is going to be so electric. I cannot wait. We are both very lucky that we will both be at the game and we'll be covering it from the stadium. It is just, oh my God, it's going to be just, it's the most important game of the club's history. And I will say that the League's Cup, it's not like League's Cup isn't close. Like the League's Cup final, our first real silverware, et cetera, was an incredibly important game. It was. And we treated it as such, and it was a joy as such, and we won a championship, and it was amazing. But now, this is the next thing, because this is really what separates you from being just a regular MLS club and being, you know, a great, great club. And that's obviously what we want to be. We want to be a great, great club. That's what we brought in all these players for. That's what we're building this hype for. And I think Wednesday is going to be that first sort of like culmination of it where you really see, wow, like look at this atmosphere. This is a full stadium. This is the best team, hopefully with Messi in it. But, you know, everyone's going to be bringing their A game. There's going to be no doubt about it. It's going to be tense. It's going to be nerve wracking. It's everything that you want in like a good soccer game.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the atmosphere is going to be something we've never seen before.
Yeah,
Chase.
Maybe similar to what we saw in his first game. Because you know it's so, you know, funny, because be even though that wasn't an important game, when it all, like when you look at it overall, it really wasn't that important of a game. It felt like it was the World Cup final to me in my heart. Like my heart was racing during it. I couldn't believe it.
You know why I feel like it's going to be different too? Like obviously because of the magnitude of the game, but and this is also a curiosity for me. I expect there to probably be a lot of Mexican fans there. a lot of Mexican fans. Anytime a Mexican team plays, whether it's a friendly or whatever, man, like they show up. So I'm really curious as to how many Monterrey fans we're going to see. I'm sure they're going to travel. They're going to be a lot that travel, but I'm sure there are a lot here in Fort Lauderdale and in Miami. So to me, it's going to be interesting. What is the, like, what's the makeup going to be of that stadium? Obviously more Inter Miami fans, but
I'd say probably 65, 35, maybe 70, 30, which is still a lot when you think about the fact that every Inter Miami game is probably like 90, 10 normally. If not, Saturday, the game, there was maybe like, I'd say 10% is being generous for the amount of New York City fans there and the little section that they get. I imagine it will be more filled out. I'd say if it's 30% of the crowd is Monterrey, like that wouldn't surprise me. And I think that'd be really good. Like, I agree. I think it's going to be tense.
Even from a media perspective too, I think that you're gonna see ESPN there. You're gonna see Deise Sports. You're gonna see some of these
Messi and Co.
Yeah, Messi and Co. One of the biggest outlets here in South Florida in the world, and really in the world. So Five Reasons Sports, Messi and Co. And then come the other ones, like ESPN.
The losers.
So. But definitely, I think it's going to be you're going to see. I think that when Messi had his first game, we had special like setups for the media where they were even outside of the stadium and they had their stages set and they had like,
it's I think we will see something like that.
All the focus is going to be on here, and we're definitely going to see. I think it's going to be star studded as well. Black Story here says, by the way, I believe Neymar will be in the game instead of the NYC. I mean, Neymar's been
Isn't he in Brazil right now?
I thought I saw him at the Santos game.
But maybe he's back. Brazil. I mean, he loves Miami. But I'm sure
it'll be star-studded. It'll be, the celebrities will definitely be here.
I bet I bet you will be there? Who? This isn't really an American reference, but I mean, he's a global player. Like, I bet you Joel Embiid will be there. Because, because on Thursday, the Sixers play Miami here, and he's back. And so I think he's going to be there because he's a huge soccer fan.
Oh, he is. Yeah. I've seen him in warm-ups dribbling the ball.
So I put it out there now. You may see him there. Maybe. Who knows? I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised. I see a comment. Here's another comment, though. And obviously, what's on everyone's mind by Quasar. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Did Messi train in the last day or two? Yeah, that's what's on everyone's mind. And yes, he did train, individual training, gym training, fitness training, what he's been doing basically the last week or so. Did not train with the team in terms of what was public media viewing. Not back, but like we said with Messi in the past and even recently, that isn't necessarily a good measuring stick if he's going to play or not. He knows, they know right now if he's playing or not. They probably knew last Friday if he was going to be playing this Wednesday. So I think tomorrow will shed a lot of light. I think I would be surprised if he didn't do any training tomorrow at all, like public, and they'll say, they don't have to say tomorrow if he's playing or not, but they will probably give a little bit of an indication which way it's leaning, because that is what's going to be asked. It's a huge thing. And we're a big believer that unless he is so, so injured that he really doesn't think he can contribute or he could really hurt himself more, he is going to play and he puts himself in those positions to help his team. So we'd be very surprised if he didn't. We don't know the extent of the injury. We don't know how the recovery is going. Obviously, Tata said in his press conference after the game on Saturday that while it's a big it's a huge game for Miami, it's still only the beginning part of the season. They have a long season, so they have to be careful with him. I think that he would give that answer no matter what state Messi was in, and so I don't really take too much of it. But maybe he'll come off the bench. I don't know. Like, I just would be surprised if we don't see anything. You never know. He's definitely obviously older and in a different stage of his career than he's ever been before. So, he's taking care of his body at a different rate than before. It's completely understandable. We'll know more tomorrow, but I think the overall, from what we've gathered from other media outlets, from, the front office, everything like that, the plan is that he plays on Wednesday. I think that's the plan they've had for the last 10 days, is that the priority is Wednesday. Things change, rehab changes, but that's kind of where I'm at. What about you, Gian?
I'd agree. I mean, it's a good sign to see him on the field. You know, again, he hasn't been training necessarily with the team, but we've seen him doing drills and warming up, and they do the drills where they have the long flags up and you've got to run through them and he's touching the ball. So, you know, to the naked eye, he looks good. Again, we've talked about it so many times. There's a big difference between practice and the actual game, but at least we see him running. He hasn't shown really much discomfort while he's been on the field training. And from the very beginning, it's been known that this is the end goal, is to have him ready for this game. They weren't ever going to sacrifice his health and putting him in a game like last game or even the last two games.
Yeah,
that was never part of the plan. So I probably wouldn't look into those games and him missing them as, is the injury so bad that he's missing those games? No, it was just make sure that he's good and he's healthy and ready to play on Wednesday night against Monterrey. And we've had that, you know, that discussion before, where you typically want players to get reps and to be able to get minutes on the field before a big game. But then again, this is Messi.
He's also Messi, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and we saw we keep going back to kind of the same point where, how many months did he not play, or how many weeks did he not play before going into his first game in an Inter Miami CF jersey? And then he just balled out. He made passes that we had never seen at Chase Stadium. And so that day he scored a free kick in that scenario last minute, something we really don't see in that stadium. Like, he just completely balled out. And I don't think he had played recently. He didn't have minutes under his belt. So yeah, whereas you do want that, it's Messi. You just need to make sure that his body is healthy, and then he'll worry about the rest. He's the GOAT for a reason, and I'm not overly concerned from that aspect. It's just make sure he's good and he's ready and he's healthy. And I would go out on a limb and say I'm 99% sure that he's going to play. But with this team, Inter Miami, we know that they're very close-lipped. We know they don't like to give a heads up to the opponent. Right now, Monterrey doesn't have a clue if Messi's going to play or not. They're probably thinking, obviously, the goal, and everybody knows the goal, is for him to play, but it just gives an upper hand to you as a team when the opponent doesn't know what. Because I think as a team, would you agree? Actually, I think as a team, you game plan differently. The way you come out of the game is different if you're facing a team with or without Messi. So
I would hope so. And if you don't, then that coach needs to be fired.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not getting ready for Messi.
Yeah. But Monterrey's game planning for two different type of games. They have to. Yeah. It'd only be,
I think they're on their game planning for, I think they would, I think everyone on planet Earth would be surprised if he wasn't playing. But you know, you really never know. But we'll see it. I agree with that. I have a couple comments I want to touch on and this one's from Fool's Paradise. I'm new to watching pro soccer and MLS. Is there common for players to get a lot of injuries, happens regularly? You know, it's interesting because maybe you would think, because it's not a quote unquote contact sport like basketball or football or things like that, that you would see less injuries. But with soccer, there's a lot of muscle injuries that happen, and a lot, it's a very intense, you know, when you're moving on that field. A lot of soft tissue and muscle injuries occur coming together of legs, you know, of tripping, of tackles, et cetera, leads to it. So, I mean, compared to any other sport, I'm sure it's really no different. I think all pro sports have like just a level of injuries that are unavoidable when you have people playing, you know, their hardest physical level at whatever they're doing. It's just kind of part of human nature, but no more or less than any other sport, but still definitely exist.
Yeah, no, agreed. And it just, with Miami, it's just been bad luck as of late.
And they're older. You know, it's different when, you know, it's like relative, like you're like, he's 36, he's not old. But in soccer years and professional athlete years, it's different. You know, he's a lot of miles on his leg. And so those kind of injuries happen. But, you know, I see a couple other points that I want to bring up. Here are a couple points. Any updates on Benji? And then is Freire back with him and Christophe out? The only option is Allen. This is what I think. I think that it's and it's a kind of good to way.
Go. Ben has good to go. He's ready, fully ready.
He wasn't available on Saturday, was he?
No, but they said that they said that he wasn't available for the game, but they said that he was full.
Okay, yeah. Like, but I was just trying to remember when I was there.
Yeah, he was fully training with the team, no caution, no nothing. Yeah. Good.
If this brings up a good point though, and I think it's maybe my next conversation is
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
I think substitutions are going to be also really important in this game. And we obviously have said who we imagine the starting 11 will be. But who are some playmakers off the bench that we think could, you know, make a big difference in this game? And I'll name 3. Kramaski, Campana, and Ruiz. Like, let's say Gressel starts and Ruiz doesn't. I think especially Campana, there is going to be a chance for players to come in and make an impact and help hopefully take the team over the hump. So, you know, when it's a 60-minute mark, 65, 70-minute mark, and it's still a close game, I can see Campana and Kramaski coming in and making a really big difference, and I hope they get the chance to do so. I think we were all a little surprised that Campana didn't play on Saturday, but coach, you know, was happy with how Suarez was playing and, you know, thought he could handle the 90 minutes. He hadn't played in over a week, and it was important to the game. But I think Campana still has done a good job of making an impact when he has played so far this season, and, you know, this is another opportunity for him to do so, and the midfield is going to be tired. Because they're going to have to be playing, obviously, a lot of defense and it's going to be a tense game. They're going to need some relief, and Kramaski has a chance to come in and do it.
Yeah. Kramaski, if he's available, definitely would be huge. A huge super sub. I mean, the playmaking that he brings would be ginormous, especially when you don't have Redondo anymore. I think that playmaking from Kamaski would be huge. Campana, obviously, also, he brings that number 9 component, but also the ability to playmake, the ability to come back and help on defense, help in the midfield. He comes back to look for balls if he's not getting them. So I think Campana would be huge, too. I think also something that we saw this last game was Yannick Bright. And I think that now we know if anything happens to Busquets, if there's – you know, God forbid there's an injury at some point, that you have a really good replacement, a natural replacement. Now
he played great on Saturday.
Right. Yannick played amazing. He did exactly what he was asked for. He's good at interrupting right there in the midfield and also interrupting, recuperating the ball, and then quickly playing the ball out to whether it be Gomez or Gressel or whoever he needs to. He did a really good job in his passing. He was precise. So I think that's probably something now that it's an added weapon for us on that bench should he be needed at any point. And some even to maybe to for fresh legs, who knows? And then I think also Negri is another one too. Negri's on the bench now and he's available to play. And if for any reason you need to substitute Alba, or maybe you need to make a substitution in the defense and you want to move Alba up for any reason, again, it all depending on how the game is going. Maybe you're up by 2-3 goals and there's 15 minutes left and you want to take out Gomez and you want more and you want to move Alba up so that provide more defense in that midfield, and then you can put Negri in at left back. So I think that basically, if Tata needs to adapt as the game goes, he's got a lot of different pieces now that he can play around with, and I think that's going to be really good. So we keep going back to this, which is funny. Messi hasn't seen the field in 3 weeks, and today he didn't train today. I'd say he's not even on the roster.
I'd be very surprised if that's the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, and I, you know, I see some points like, you know, he comes out and does training when everyone leaves 100%. And he's been doing gym work. Like the media sees him in the gym and running. Like they see him doing regular athletic things. He just is not doing with the actual team. Who knows? Again, we really can't, because one thing we've learned with so far is that we really cannot predict or understand exactly what is going to happen when it comes to injuries in Inter Miami. But we are all very, very hopeful. And you know, if we want to give a worst case scenario, I would say if worst case scenario happens again, it's going to be Gressel starting at the right wing instead of Messi. And then in the midfield, I think you'll either see Bright or Ruiz play. And then everything else would be the same if I were to guess. You know, I think Aviles is 100% going to be playing at center back, and either if it's not Freire, I think it will be Ryan Saylor. I thought Ryan Saylor did a fine job on Saturday in a back four role. He did, you know, what was necessary. I obviously, you know, Freire is above him in the pecking order. Christoph maybe too sometimes, but Christoph is injured, and so if it ends up being that way, I think Ryan Saylor in the back four with Aviles would probably be the choice over Allen. Or for a back five. That's what I imagine. Like I said, worst case scenario, if Messi doesn't play, that's what I think it'll be. I think everything will look pretty similar to what we've seen in the 4-3-3, like Saturday, but it would obviously be with the regular defender, Busquets up, etc. But yeah, I don't know. It's exciting. I see some couple things about ticket prices. I'd also warn you and say that, look, it's still a Wednesday evening, which is still, you know, not, it's not like it's a Saturday night game. Like it's still difficult for people in midweek to go to sporting events. And I would also say that they have listed tickets really high for all other games and, you know, for everything that's been involved with Messi. And I think a lot of people have been burned because either Messi doesn't play or, you know, they have to lower it at the last minute. Every game I've gone to thus far has been, I'd say, 95% capacity at least. Like Saturday was full. The stadium was full, so they get sold in some way, and you know, maybe again a lot of it was last second, but they get sold out, and I still think we will see a pretty close to full house for the game on Wednesday.
Yeah, it definitely. I really think it'll be pretty close. I mean, Wednesday night in Miami, in Fort Lauderdale, traffic, people getting out. You're not talking about a 9 p.m., 9:30 p.m. game. You're talking about people are getting into rush hour. We always see this. We even see this with other sports here in Miami, where you expect there to be a big crowd. And because it's midweek, it tends to be a little bit less. I saw the whole Monterrey thing, and they sold out within seconds. I was looking at AJ's comment here. Yeah. And I believe that stadium holds over 55,000. That's just going to be insane. And that just goes back to the original point, is Inter Miami need to make sure they take care of business here Wednesday night, because that atmosphere that they're going to go into in Monterrey, again, I mean, the fans, props to those fans, because those are really, the atmosphere that they put in that stadium and 55,000 people. Inter Miami has never, ever experienced that, ever.
Yeah, but do you know who has? Busquets, Alba, Suarez, and Messi. And so that's why it doesn't bother me. You know, it's interesting. Like, going away, I just – maybe it's – and for the other seven players, it's very true. I'm sure it's very – it is difficult and gives you the jitters and all that. But because those four are playing, I don't know why. Like, I don't care at all when we go play somewhere else. No, like, I just I have faith in them. It will be hard, though. It will be hard, but I'm just saying, it's not like you're playing a bunch of amateurs for Inter Miami or playing a bunch of young stars. Like, you know, it's...
No, 100%. I understand your point of view, but to me, as a team...
Oh, we still need to dominate on Wednesday. We have to.
But as a team, look, even people that are as experienced as Messi and Suarez, Busquets and Alba, it still leaves an impression on you. Yeah. Like... I'm talking about like teams, for example, in South America, Copa Libertadores, right? It's the biggest tournament in South America. When you go, it doesn't matter if you've been to Copa Sudamericana, if you've been to other Libertadores, if you've been in other things. You go to, for example, play in La Bombonera, Boca Stadium in Argentina. Yeah. You go play in El Monumental, River Plate. I mean, those are stadiums that impose on you. You feel that. It doesn't matter what tournaments you've played. It doesn't matter anything. Those are things that really, I mean, add to the atmosphere. It's just, it's crazy.
No, so I know.
I think that guys like Suarez, where they'll be able to react to it differently than maybe some of the other players that haven't really been in that atmosphere. I still think it makes an impact on them. I think it regardless, it's how they react to it. And I think it'll be interesting. I think they're probably talking to the other guys on the team in the locker room and telling them, hey guys, be ready for like this atmosphere, and kind of talking them through. I'm pretty sure they're giving them, look, hey, be ready. This is going to be, you know, focus on the game. Don't look around, like, because that'll be very intimidating. So that's why, to me, it's a final on Wednesday.
100%. It will be great. Both will be great atmospheres, and it's what we want for Inter Miami. We want them to be on this global stage, you know, this transcontinental stage, and it's going to be awesome. A couple things I want to talk about. First one from Black Story: the problem is defense. Aviles will crumble with the pressure. I made a point of it last week that I was not very happy with Aviles' performances as a whole this season, and that I think he hasn't matured at a rate I was hoping for this early on. But, you know, he had been playing every minute. He got the week off. I'm sure he's been listening and learning from those around him. And all we can hope is that, you know, he shows up and is ready for a battle. And so, fingers crossed, it will be a good performance out of him. Another comment I want to talk about is that from Quasar, Gressel not looking as a right wing and Taylor just disappeared last match. I think that's a good point. I agree. I think that Taylor has had the opportunity over the last two games to give more of an imprint and sort of add that layer, and he hasn't done it in the way I was hoping. And some of it's been because he's been out of position, and I understand that. But he's for some reason just doesn't seem as ruthless as he did last season. And again, maybe it's opportunity, maybe it's because of Suarez. I don't know. But what I would say is I could see a world where, and this is very, I don't think it's likely, but I'm just saying I can see a world where maybe Tata even goes as far and says Gomez starts at the left wing with Messi and Suarez, and he plays Gressel, Busquets, and Ruiz. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to stick with the midfield three because they've done well. But I'm just saying there could be a world where he tinkers a little bit. And like we said, he's trying to get the best, strongest, most aggressive performance out. And one thing about Gomez is he's aggressive. You know, Taylor, it has been too. And I would keep Taylor in my starting lineup for Wednesday. But I'm just saying there could be a world existing where I could see that, you know, he hasn't done great in the last 2 weeks. And you know, when you have, you need to, in this team with these players, with the amount of quality that is existing, even with injuries, it's important that you have to like be aggressive, you know, and you have to show your worth every game. And in a final, same thing.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to that one comment or discussion about the defense, about Inter Miami's defense. And I think that with Inter Miami and their defense, you know, I think the first, obviously that was very worrisome last season, was the defense. We knew that we had one of the worst defenses probably in MLS. And then come into this season, we get Freire. Freire starts with Aviles. Then Freire has, with Aviles, with Alba and Yedlin on the right. When we played those four with those two center backs, I think Inter Miami did very well.
Yeah.
I think they did very well. The defense showed a lot of improvement. We looked better on set pieces. We looked a lot better confidence-wise on that with those two center backs. They did a lot better man-marking. They didn't get beat from behind as much as we've seen some of these other lineups look like. So I would say the defense looked good. Mm-hmm. Then we trade Yedlin.
Yeah.
And then we go from two center backs.
Gets hurt. Yeah.
And we go from two center backs to three center backs. And I think that when we look at this defense and we're trying to figure out what's going on. And we think, you know, the thought comes that this defense is struggling, this defense is bad, or this defense is worrisome. I can understand the sentiment, but I think it stems from the three center back.
Yeah.
Which is not something we're going to see against Monterrey. And I wanted to point that out because I was looking at that three center back formation. It was Christoph, Aviles, and Allen. That's where we suffered the most goals. We got scored on three times by Montreal. And then that same lineup.
My head hurts.
That's where Red Bull scored four goals on us. Christoph, Aviles, and Allen. Remember those three names. Christoph, Aviles, and Allen. That's a lineup that you're not going to see probably ever again in your entire life. Never.
AKA. That's their initials.
Exactly. You will never see that lineup again. So that's why when I look at this defense and I think with Chelo coming back in, it doesn't worry me as much. Yeah. Not to say that this defense is rock solid, one of the best in MLS, but I think that the what you guys are thinking about is those games where we had those three and we were playing with three center backs as opposed to two, where we know that this team does not do well with three center backs. They just don't. So I would probably I wanted to point that out to all of you in chat and those that are going to be listening, is that's where that notion comes from. I think that this defense will look solid now with Chelo and with Alba and then our two center backs, whether it's Aviles and Freire. I thought Aviles did really good the first part of the season, but I think he struggled trying to figure out what the heck he's supposed to do in these strange lineups.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry too much. Are they roasting me in the chat? I don't even know if they are.
No, they're not roasting you. I mean, Black Story said AKA better than Maldini and Nesta. Agreed. Agreed. Facts. If it's only the name, in the name itself.
But this defense is going to have to be on top of their game. I mean, look at this. You've got, so I have a few things here. Monterrey has the best all-time winning percentage in CONCACAF at 74%.
Let's go. Okay.
They beat the team Comunicaciones in round one. They won 7-1 on aggregate. So I want everybody to understand how powerful this team Monterrey is on offense.
Didn't they just lose? They lost over the weekend.
They lost. But in Champions Cup, they have 10 goals. They're the top scoring team. They've got Brandon Vasquez, who you guys know who that is. He's a top scorer right now in CONCACAF.
He's someone that I really hope gets invited to the U.S. men's roster for Copa America. But we should do an episode. By the way, that's a really great thing for me to just say really quickly. And I would love if anyone in the chat give your thoughts and just, you know, your overall, if you'd be interested. You know, me and Gian, obviously we love Messi and Inter Miami, and that is what every episode is going to focus on for the most part. But we have really exciting other tournaments that are coming up in soccer and in North America. Obviously, like we said, we are based in Miami. We live here. I think we want to start doing a little bit of some content and some videos previewing and getting ready for Copa America, talking about the different teams, different matchups. Obviously, Messi in Argentina, the U.S. team, Ecuador, and everything that we can to just kind of, you know, make this a channel for all of that. So it's nothing's changing or happening anytime soon. We're just kind of putting it out there that if you start to see some other content from us, other videos, other chats about Copa America overall, and just, you know, what's going to be happening with the tournament, be ready for that and let us know what you think. But so back to your point. Yeah, agree.
Yeah, they've got so, and thank you for sharing that, because that's going to be exciting. Bringing you guys that extra coverage when we
it's going to be, we're going to be battling fun. Like it's going to be South America, Central, South and Central America versus North America, like versus America. Like I am USA, USA. Like I am a huge U.S. men's national team fan. And so just, you know, if you guys want to roast me, that's fine. But I am.
All right, so we've got Brandon Vasquez again. He's very dangerous. So the defense is going to have to be on their toes, and I think that'll be a focus. I don't know if they're going to man mark him or what. You've also got Maximiliano Mesa, who is an amazing playmaker.
Great name.
yeah, great name. He has 3 assists in a round of 16 against FC Cincinnati. And he's just really, really good. And then their goalkeeper, Esteban Andrade, has 2 clean sheets. And he's also one of the goalkeepers with the most saves in the 2024 CONCACAF Champions Cup with 16. So there's some really big things going on.
It's a juggernaut. But I think, like we said, all of these players that we have in Inter Miami, what they've been building to, what they have tried to get in their roster. Now we have Chelo, you know, we have other reinforcements. We have a couple of our injured players coming back, some injured players leaving.
That was a April Fool's joke.
I saw your tweet this morning. So I said we should tweet it from the. Said we should tweet it from the from our account, but he said Gian said that we're too official and important for that, so we didn't.
I don't want to cause any confusion. Hey, Skyler, sorry if I caused any confusion. So basically, what I'll read the tweet here. Basically, it's April Fool's here in the U.S. I know that in South America, they actually do that in another part of the year. So
April Fool's is not a worldwide thing.
It's called El Día de los Inocentes, and it's not necessarily on the same day. It looks like it's December 28th. So there must have been a little disconnect there. But I tried to make this as ridiculous as possible so that it was obvious. So basically, this is what I tweeted. I said, in a stunning and unprecedented move, Monterrey has dropped out of the CONCACAF Champions quarterfinal versus Inter Miami CF. A team official said, after much consideration, we have decided to step aside. Messi is the GOAT, and we cannot fathom the possibility of a final without him.
You know, I read the first half of it, and I didn't know you were making that tweet, so I thought it was serious until I read the second half. I see a comment then, April Fool's is not worldwide. Okay, well, you learn something new every day. So I am so I'm sorry. Okay, I don't know why. I thought it, and honestly, better for you because this day is full of anxiety for me. So you know what?
That's good. I'm glad you're joking with me. Good. I'm gonna try to make it as ridiculous as possible. Yeah. I didn't want anybody like actually thinking of it. So I thought obviously that would make
It was a good one. And people don't know. I mean, some people know this, some people don't. I'm also like a big Taylor Swift fan. Like I'm a girly girl in that way. Uh-huh. And all I've seen on my Twitter today is like all of these outlandish, crazy things. And I keep thinking they're true. And I go, like thinking like she's married or like she's canceling her tour, like all these terrible things, and I'm like, and then they're not real. So you know, it goes to show. Another comment though, I saw a couple people saying they would really be interested in the Copa America content. That's awesome. Thank you. Agreed. Look, once Messi leaves, there's always a chance that the content changes. You know, we try to make it mostly about Inter Miami, obviously always including Messi in it. But agreed that, you know, the more we can talk about, the better. We love soccer. We love the sport. We love growing the sport. And the more we could talk about it, better. A couple more things. I think we're going to start closing it out in a little bit. But I see a couple different lineup options from Quasar. I see from Turtle, what do we think is a realistic outcome? Is Messi good to go? It kind of seems like the away game is being penciled in as a loss. Yeah, I think I'll start and I'll say that, you know, what would be an outcome on Wednesday that would make me feel the best is that if we win by at least a goal, you know, 2, I would feel good. 1, I would feel good, but, you know, a little bit of a nerves. If it was 0-0, if it's a tie game, I would think, you know, okay, I still, like I said, I back some of the other, I back obviously our stars. I back that, you know, I trust Suarez, Messi, Busquets, like I trust them, even if it's a tie going in, I still give them the benefit of the doubt, but I would feel nervous. And obviously losing would be catastrophic. So winning by 2 goals, perfect. 1 goal, good. Tied, less than that, oh no. That's kind of my scale.
Yeah. I think you need to win by at least 2 goals. I think you need to win by 2 goals.
If we win by 1, are you going to be like, oh, it's over, we lost?
I know, it's not the end of the world. Don't underestimate going into Estadio BBVA in Monterrey. Don't underestimate that. This is already the best team we've probably ever played in the history, and to play in Mexico, No. No, and then and to play in Mexico, I think you need to look. I've suffered this personally with my team in Ecuador in Copa Libertadores, where we won by like 3 goals. We won by 3 goals in the aggregate and in the first leg in Quito. We went to go play in El Estadio Maracanã in Brazil, which Maracanã is also one of those iconic stadiums where we played against Fluminense in Brazil. And they came back and tied the game. They scored 4 goals over there. And that can happen, same thing here. That's why, to me, you got to win by at least 2 goals. And I'm going to agree with a few here that have said the same thing. Don't concede. Do not concede a goal. As we have to remember, here, away goals count when the decision has to be made on a tiebreaker. That's the tiebreaker. So don't concede goals, and you got to win by at least 2 goals. Now, I mean, to have both happen at the same time, win by 2 goals and don't concede, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen, but those are definitely two things. You want to come out with a really good result. If I'm going into Mexico winning by one, like let's say 2-1, I'm scared. Not gonna lie. I'm scared going.
I'm curious though to see if there will be. I saw a comment. I wonder how many Messi jerseys there will be, pink jerseys there will be at this game. Because I know that fans obviously are incredibly loyal, and I think they will be. But I still think that around the world, and even around MLS, there's always still that thought in the back of some people's head where, like, this may be the last time I ever see Messi. Like, maybe I'm going to wear my Messi jersey. I don't know. So I'm just saying, I don't disagree with your points. And I think when push comes to shove, it's going to be incredibly hostile, incredibly difficult. And I hope that we do enough damage on Wednesday where it's not as big of a concern. But I have to back my stars, my team, and think maybe it'll be it'll be okay. But we can only start one thing at a time, and that thing is Wednesday. We have a game on Wednesday. Look, tomorrow we'll find out more from the team and from media about availability, and besides Messi, Freire, Kramaski, etc., like how our injuries looking. Hopefully we hear some good news. We may not, and we may have to just wait until 7 p.m. like everybody else on Wednesday to see what that lineup is going to be. But we will both be there. We will both be doing more coverage. We'll be doing live tweeting, videos, etc. We're really excited. All things considered, look, this is what we wanted. This is why we brought Messi. This is why we brought the whole team here, is so that we have nights like this, that we're in tournaments like this, creating these atmospheres, building this structure of a club that could be a winning club, that could be in big games, big moments. It's going to be a lot of fun. This has been great.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think that right now, you look back at last season, and everything has progressed like goal after goal. The goal was to make it to the League's Cup, to then get a berth into CONCA Champions Cup. And I think that everything is going according to plan. Yeah, there's been some bumps, you know, throughout this process and losing some players and injuries, but I think that we're on the right track, and this is really exciting for this team. One thing I want to do before we start to head out and wrap up is, what do you guys – we talked about kind of like what we want, like what scores do you guys think?
Yeah,
like what scores do you guys in chat think you would be comfortable with? What would you like to see? Obviously, we all want to see 5-0, you know, but something, what makes you comfortable? What do you think is going to happen? And then who do you think is going to score too?
3-0. First comment, 3-0. Girl, if we get 3-0, then we will be you'll hear us cheering from the stadium on YouTube. You'll just hear it through osmosis. That's how loud we'll be. 3-1, I think, is looking a little bit more like I think that that's a possibility. A couple good ones. Suarez brace, 2-0, 3-1. So yeah, I think though the theme to your point is at least a 2-goal cushion, which would be best. I'm hopeful it will be. To your point, what you said, look, we looked at this last season at this time. Right now, we're second in the East, and we are in the quarterfinals for the Champions Cup. Oh, and by the way, Messi hasn't played in 2/3 of our game so far. So, like, think about that, you know? Like, we've come a long way. We have a lot of great players, and we're starting. We have our right back. We have good midfielders. Obviously, we lost Redondo, but we have other players coming back. There's a ton of room to continue to grow and to continue to make the most out of this season. And I think Wednesday will be a really important stepping stone to that.
Yeah, I got to agree with this comment, except with the Miami, with that Miami defense. If you missed it, Erwin, I think that the defense is better than we think. Again, just because the times where we've gotten scored on the most have been a certain lineup. AKA has been the, we got to make that a thing. The AKA,
also known as please don't start these three. Yeah.
We have to make that a thing. We got to make that a hashtag. But AKA, I agree with you, Erwin, in the sense that the a lot of games we've been lucky that we haven't gone scored on because these teams haven't finished their opportunities. And I think Monterrey, to your point, won't be as forgiving. Yeah. So we definitely need to be on top of our game.
Agreed. Once he's back, it'll make a lot of difference. So I think we can wrap it up there. This has been really, really great. We will continue to provide updates and content, obviously, tomorrow when we find out more from the team. Hopefully good news for Messi. Hopefully we see him start. Hopefully, at the very least, we see him get some minutes. Regardless, Wednesday is going to be an absolutely amazing game. I hope everyone is going to watch from wherever they are in the world. And then we will do our post-game. We will do content. We will do questions and polls and talk about it with you guys on a later episode. And keep it rolling. So for that, thank you so much for watching. Thank you for being part of the chat, for giving so much interaction and love and feedback. We love it. And we'll be back next time. So for this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian. Vamos Inter Miami. We'll see you Wednesday. Vamos Messi. Vamos everything. We're going to get a win. I can't wait. Vamos
everything y nos vamos. Bye.
That's right. Bye.